A logo, Tubi Originals. Film tape extends from a reel. Gleaming silver text appears, Footage Film Studios. Daytime, Los Angeles. Text. Tubi presents, Footage Film Studios production, a Christopher B. Stokes film. A muscular man and his full-figured wife plate breakfast while their teen daughter watches television.
It's about to be so good.
Yeah.
I love the smell of bacon.
Me too.
You know I got you, baby.
Yes, sir.
So what's Oscar released?
Scot-free. You already know how we do it. That's another win for the Nelson clan.
Yeah, you gotta stop taking Anthony's dirty money.
Baby, it ain't dirty money if I get paid to win a case. All right, and plus, you and I both know Oscar was not about to last another day up in there.
Yeah, and you and I both know that Oscar's guilty.
Maybe so, but I got 12 jurors to say that he's innocent.
Babe, help me understand. Why do you always think you have to save everybody? Everybody can't be saved.
Yeah, but Oscar's like family, babe. I always gotta look out for him.
Well, hopefully Oscar has enough sense to stay away from Anthony this time.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen because Oscar idolizes him too much.
Well, Anthony should be a good brother and get Oscar out of this lifestyle because we all know, like, Oscar is just not built like Anthony is.
I know. I try to tell them both that, but they don't listen. They both hard-headed. And you know Anthony, he don't listen to nobody.
Yeah, he don't listen to nobody but himself.
And maybe that wife that's half his age.
Wait, Dad, are you gonna be able to come today? You promised.
Carla, are you gonna be able to stop watching all the movies that you watch? You promised.
Whatever, Dad.
Oh, whatever. Listen. Baby girl, check this out. Your daddy's with you all day because today is my off day, all right? And you got me all day today, too, baby. And I wish you would have made some more bacon because the eggs, it makes me fart. I don't know. You know, I'm just being real.
Wait. Uncle Oscar's on the news. And it looks like he's
armed and has a hostage. Okay, turn it up. Turn it up.
And so far, there are no casualties.
On the news, an armed man holding a woman at gunpoint backs into an apartment surrounded by SWAT officers. In his house, Brian's phone rings.
Hello? Yeah, I just turned it on. I'm watching it right now. What's going on? Oh, all right, I'm on my way.
Wait, Dad, you promised.
Look, baby girl, I promise I'll make it up to you, okay?
Okay.
Babe, honestly, I think you should let the authorities handle this. You're just an attorney, babe.
Look, I'm family, okay? He's out there asking for me. I gotta go, babe. It's gonna be okay.
Brian grabs his jacket and heads for the door.
Listen, I'll call you on the way there, okay?
All right. Love you.
Love you, Carla. You.
Babe, be careful, babe.
I got it.
Brian's wife shuts the door behind him. Outside, Brian climbs into his SUV and speeds off the driveway and down the suburban street. The view rises above the rows of houses. Later, Brian's SUV pulls up outside the apartment complex. Several armed officers wait with their weapons trained on the apartment door. Brian emerges from the SUV and sprints for the building. Two officers restrain him.
Yo, what's going on in here? I gotta get up.
I wanna know something. Let you go in there.
Go away! It's between me and my girl!
Your boy's been held up in there for 2 hours.
I know, Oscar. I can help y'all.
Gotta call up a possible armed suspect behaving erratically.
We got here?
He ran inside. There's a hostage.
Must be his girlfriend.
Get me Brian now!
You heard him. I gotta go.
Wait.
I say we let him in.
The chief will have our ass, man.
Yo, get him a vest.
An officer hands Brian a bulletproof vest. A slender man in a tank top paces inside the apartment.
Shut up.
All right, look. You're not going in, but you can talk to him at the door while we find an alternative route. You got me?
Yep.
And look, Nelson, he'll make you regret this.
You can trust me.
Watch your back.
Got
it. Yo, cover it.
Brian approaches the door with his hands raised.
Oscar, it's me, Brian.
B?
Yep.
I'm sorry, man. I know this looks bad.
It's all good. Now I'm coming up. I just want to talk to you. It's me, by myself, and I'm unarmed. I just want to talk to you.
Don't lie to me, Brian.
Not lying.
Just me.
You swear?
Oscar grabs his girlfriend and presses the gun to her head in front of the door.
Open it!
As the door opens, Brian rushes inside and slams it shut behind him.
Hey, man.
Hey. Oscar! What you doing, man? You tripping! Put the gun down, bro!
I know what you're thinking, but it's not my fault, man. It's hers. She's been screwing some other guy, man.
I'm sorry.
Look. She's sorry? She's sorry? Okay, I'm sorry. Everybody's sorry.
Sorry?
Oscar turns the handgun on Brian.
Do you know the types of things that I had to put up with in there? The things that were done to me? All she had to do was hold me down.
I know. And I get it. Oscar, bro, you don't want to do this.
No. Back up.
All right.
I know what I'm doing, B.
All right. It's your world, Oscar.
You see, everybody thinks I'm weak. That's why they think they can do whatever they want to me. But I know what I'm doing.
I know you know what you're doing, all right? But this ain't the way to go. All right, just think for a second. What would your brother do?
Oscar reflects, then lowers the gun.
He'd do this.
No! Oscar! No!
Oscar shoots his girlfriend, then presses the gun to his jaw and shoots himself. A title appears from darkness, No Way Out. Text appears over downtown LA at night, 2 years later. A couple strolling through the pouring rain step past a doorman into an apartment building.
Good evening.
Evening.
The man closes his umbrella as he heads inside. Later in their apartment, the couple lies nestled together in bed beside a window. The view gazes over the city lights. The door of the apartment opens and a silhouetted figure marches through the kitchen toward the bedroom. As he enters the bedroom, he raises a gun. Two flashes of light flare in the darkness as he shoots the bed's occupants. The assailant dashes out the door.
911, what's your emergency?
A man just shot two people across the street from me.
And you witnessed this altercation, how, sir?
From my living room window.
The shooter sprints down the street, elbowing a man out of his way. Daytime.
Infamous drug kingpin Anthony Santiago was arrested and charged today with the double murder of his wife, Candace Santiago, and her supposed lover, Vincent Capria. Sources say he was following them and planned the kill.
Anthony, I understand, but we don't have anything to work off of here.
They have two eyewitnesses placing you at the scene, and the gun is registered in your name.
Two lawyers sit before a man with a shaved head.
As your attorneys, we think the best thing for you to do is to take the DA's plea deal.
Anthony smirks. Get me Brian Nelson.
Whatever it takes.
In a townhouse, sunlight gleams through partially closed curtains on a houseplant beside a discarded shirt. A half-empty box of donuts lies on the ground in the living room. Cardboard boxes sit on the table and mantelpiece. Brian lies alone in his bed, his hair long and braided into cornrows. A wedding photo of him and his wife Lynette sits on the bedside table beside him. He winces in the sunlight. As he sits up in bed, he gazes longingly at the photo.
Thank you.
He picks up a wine bottle from the bedside table and peers inside. Light shines through the empty bottle. He frowns and sets it back down. He picks up the wedding photo, kisses his fingers, then presses his fingers to Lynette in her wedding dress. He tugs a pair of slippers over his feet. In a tank top and boxers, he shuffles into the next room and picks up an eviction notice. He sets it down, then picks up the next document, an affidavit of service. Brian reads through the affidavit with a glazed-over look, then trudges back to his bedroom. He slaps his hand on the overhang above him. Brian lumbers into the washroom, passing a photo of his daughter Carla's smiling face. Later.
Yeah, I miss you too, baby girl. I know I ain't came to see you in a minute, but things between me and your mama have been kind of funny, so.
Well, do you think you guys are gonna get back together?
No, I don't think she's gonna reconsider this time.
Well, have you found a new job yet?
I've been looking.
I ain't found none yet, though.
Todd, I thought you said you had something already.
I thought I had something, but it was nothing.
Well, you have to try harder.
Baby, trust me.
When I tell you I'm trying so hard.
Well, I mean, have you maybe thought about going back to the...
No.
I can't go back there. And they wouldn't even take me back if I tried.
It's what you're good at, Dad.
Was.
It's just what I was good at.
Oh, look, I'm gonna be over there in a minute anyway, because I gotta stop by and grab a few things.
So I'll see you soon. I love you, baby girl.
Love you too. See you soon.
All right.
Bye.
In a hoodie and slacks, he heads out the door. The view drifts to the wedding photo beside his bed. At Lynette's house, Lynette steps outside holding hands with a muscular young man.
I had a really good time.
Baby, I had so much fun.
We're probably gonna come back later. That's cool.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I was thinking I could make some lobster with mashed potatoes, asparagus, or something.
Give me all
I'm
that.
So excited. I want a foot rub.
I'm gonna come back.
Okay.
I got your feet, though.
Hey.
Brian, what are you doing here?
What's up, Brian?
Meet you, man.
Brian, what the hell is wrong with you?
Stay away from my family, homie.
Brian, what is your problem?
Look, I ain't signing no divorce papers, so you know that.
Yo, I'm not your wife anymore. Dad?
Carla, baby, go back in the house. We just out here talking, all right?
Go in the house.
Carla runs back inside.
You need to leave. Now. Now!
Yeah, whatever.
He storms off.
Baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, baby.
Brian climbs into his car. He speeds away. The sun sets over the city. Brian sits alone at the bar in Patsy's Irish Pub. He sighs and stares at a glass of liquor. A man with a goatee steps through the door and scans the room. He spots Brian and heads to the seat beside him.
Make mine a double.
Brian glances at him.
How you find me, man?
Brian, I find people for a living. Plus, I'm the last friend you got that actually gives a damn. And this is the last crappy bar in town, so it wasn't that hard.
That's what's up.
Do some research, like you asked. The guy that Lynette's dating, I mean, he's out of D.C., rich family, but he checks out clean. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Excuse me if I ain't too enthused about my wife dating another man.
Ex-wife.
I ain't signed the papers yet.
apartment. You gotta get it together, man. Get back to work. Get your life back. I'm worried about you, man.
My life was Lynette and Carla.
You ain't gotta worry about me, I'm all right.
He swallows back the liquor.
No, wait. Next round on me. Hey, let's get...
I'm good.
We'll call you, all right?
Brian strides toward the exit.
Hey, B, you gonna be all right?
I'm all right. Good.
His friend flags down the bartender, then takes a pack of cigarettes from his pocket and slaps it against his palm. He purses a cigarette between his lips and lights it as the bartender sets down another drink. As Brian steps into his house, a man presses a gun to his head.
If you want to live, do exactly as I say.
If you're looking for money, I ain't got none.
I assure you, I'm not.
The intruder, a bearded man with buzzed hair, shoves Brian into the living room.
And what's this about?
Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., I'll be waiting outside your house. Get in the car, do exactly as I say, and no one will get hurt, including your wife and daughter.
Look, you touch my family, homie, and I promise you.
Yeah. I know. But from where I'm standing, it doesn't seem like you're in a position to be making threats.
He lowers the gun.
I work for Anthony Santiago.
Anthony.
In a flashback, Anthony speaks with Brian.
So what makes you always want to meet at your grandma's house?
Mind you where you came from, hotshot lawyer?
Yeah, you know me. I'll never forget where I came from.
Maybe it's a reminder for me then. You know, I keep eyes on this house. Make sure nobody bothers it.
Yeah, man, your grandma was the best. She always kept a ashtray full of pecans and peppermints right by the door.
That's right. Those were her favorites.
Yeah.
If she could see us now, you think she'd be disappointed?
I definitely think she'd make you go to that altar.
With her anointing oil and holy water.
She's to spray that on everybody. Be all over the house.
Thanks for getting Oscar out, B. I appreciate it.
Ain't no thing, man.
You know he's not built for this life.
Yeah, I know. Am I bad about not catching the warrant thing? He would have been out a little bit earlier.
It's all good.
You know, I don't want to judge you or Oscar's decision-making after your grandma died.
Good. You don't. Listen. Starting this offshore account really is your help.
No. Don't try to make me your personal consigliere, okay? This ain't gonna happen, all right?
Consigliere.
I don't mind working with you and Oscar on these little knick-knack, paddywhack deals, but as far as your empire's illicit affairs, you can count me out. Plus, I'm sure some young, thirsty, money-hungry, slimeball attorney that would just love to be on Anthony Santiago's payroll.
You might be right. But they ain't had grandma's cooking.
Ah, that's right.
Let me see you at the barbecue this year?
Yeah, me and Lynn might swing through.
They clap hands and pull into a hug.
Love you.
Love, brother.
Get the family my love.
I will.
Mi amor.
The window of a truck rolls down.
Bye, Candace.
Bye, Brian.
Hey, you make sure you keep this one in line, all right?
If only that were possible.
Hey, give that consigliere idea some thought, yeah?
Thought about it. The answer is still no.
In your big words.
Speaking of big, this stack's a little big, don't you think?
You earned it. Plenty more where that came from, hot shot.
Now.
You tell Anthony I ain't interested, man.
Mr. Nelson, you do not have a choice. You do not comply, I will murder your entire family, Lynn and Carla, first. We have people watching them right now. So if you try any funny business, I guarantee you, I will blow both of their brains out. Now, you have 8 hours to decide
whether your family lives or dies.
The intruder turns and starts through the front door, then pauses and looks back.
Lock your door.
As he leaves, Brian slumps forward and presses his hand over his eyes. He gazes at the floor, deep in thought. Daytime, cars surge down a freeway. In his house, Brian awakens in bed and searches for his ringing phone. He picks up the phone with a furrowed brow and holds it to his ear.
Hello?
Mr. Nelson, it's 8 a.m. You're late. Anthony doesn't like late.
He hangs up and lurches out of the bed. At a prison, Anthony sits in an interview room with his wrists handcuffed to a metal table. A guard leads Brian into the room.
Mr. Nelson.
Anthony looks up with a cold smile.
I was beginning to think you weren't gonna make it.
Yeah, what's this about?
Have a seat.
Stone-faced, Brian settles into the seat across from Anthony.
I hope Zulu wasn't too rough on the family.
Really? That's where we at now, Ant? That's what you gonna do to me? Send your guard dog to threaten me and my family?
Lower your voice, counselor. We don't want prying ears listening.
My bad. Maybe I should just go out there and tell him what you did then.
Maybe I should have Zulu finish what he started.
They lock eyes.
This is low, dog. Even for you.
Anthony nods.
It's good to see you too, old friend. You look like shit. What happened to you, B? You tanked your career? You gave up law?
You know what happened, man. He was your brother. He was like my brother.
I thought that might be what it was. I don't mind saying, I hate the turn your life has taken since that day.
It's in my life. Yeah, last time I checked, I wasn't a convict, bro.
Not a convict. Accused. Which is why I need your help. I didn't do this, B.
Let me get this straight. I don't take your case. You saying your boy Zulu killed me and my family, right?
No. No. I would never hurt Lynn and Carla. They're like family to me, too. Zulu was just my way of getting you here.
Pretty dramatic, don't you think?
Would you have come otherwise?
Brian leans forward on the table.
I see your point.
I would hope that you would take this case out of a sense of brotherhood, history. I mean, for God's sakes, B, I've known you since I was 7 years old. You really gonna sit back and watch me fry for something I didn't do?
Call your boy Zulu off, no matter what my answer is.
I can't do that. See, I need some sort of insurance. Make sure you don't go dark on me like you did your career.
Leave my family out of this, and I might think about it.
You say that with so much conviction in your voice. Like you actually have a choice.
Anthony stares hard at Brian, who shrugs.
I never did I?
We're family, amigo. Like it or not. Family looks out for each other, even if sometimes they need a little extra push.
Brian leans back and purses his lips in thought.
Aye.
Smart man. I'll reach out to the team and have them get you updated. Oh, and you might want to keep this between us. I don't want you inadvertently jeopardizing this case. Now you can go.
With a sullen frown, Brian stands.
O and B, I Can't have my attorneys looking like that. Clean yourself up.
Yeah, for sure.
The guard opens the door, and Brian leaves. The guard uncuffs Anthony from the table. The sun rises over LA. In his house, Brian wanders the rooms with a trash bin. He throws food wrappers and empty cups into the bag. He studies his reflection in a mirror and sighs, then draws his hands through his braids. He inspects a suit hanging on the back of his bedroom door. Later, he puts on the suit jacket over a dress shirt and vest. He eyes his hair, the cornrows buzzed down to a tight fade. He slips a holstered handgun from a case in his safe, then fastens the holster around his ankle. He rolls his pants down over the concealed gun. Brian walks away. Later, he joins Anthony's attorneys in a high-rise office.
Manny. Charles. How you doing, man?
What's up, B?
What up, Charles? Albie. All
right.
Man, Mr. Santiago said that you might agree to come on board, but I honestly didn't believe it.
Yeah, well, look, full disclosure, we had a wager on whether you'd even show up. I guess I won.
All right, enough with the chit-chat. Gentlemen, let's get right up into it. What y'all got for me?
Charles shrugs.
Nothing.
Well, the state has motive. Two, possibly three witnesses, a murder weapon registered under our client's name, which was found at the crime scene. And the police has these photos of the wife's affair.
Now, cops had Mr. Santiago's wife under surveillance for about 6 months before the murders. Mm-hmm. They called it off because they couldn't find anything. But then the next day, our client's wife and her lover were killed.
Wait, so hold on, back it up for me a little bit. You said it's possibly three witnesses.
Yep. Cops are having trouble finding out the third, the one that made the call. They think Mr. Santiago's people might have gotten to the witness and spooked him.
Okay. So what about the alibi? Where is Mr. Santiago saying he was the night of the murder?
He won't say.
What do you mean he won't say?
He won't say. He won't tell us where he was. All he tells us is it doesn't matter because he is innocent. This is where we're hoping you can succeed where we failed, Brian. Talk to the guy. Make him understand the reality of the situation. We got trial in 4 days, and we don't have a leg to stand on here.
All right, I got you.
All right. We have an office we can set you up in. Take some time. Look at the evidence. You'll see just how screwed we are.
Good luck.
All right.
Your guy's difficult, man.
Got you this way, man.
Manny leads Brian down a hallway. Later in an office, Brian sits at a desk with an open file box before him. He pores over crime scene photos of the high-rise apartment and the victim's bodies in the bed. He paces the office with his phone to his ear, then sticks a cigarette between his lips and heads outside. The door of the crime scene opens and Brian slips through. He furrows his brow as he takes in the untouched room. He shuffles forward, head swiveling to scan the room. He stands before the bed, cordoned off with bright yellow police tape. Brian takes a step back and snaps a photo of the bed with his phone. Brian steps through the door of his house and freezes. A stoic bald man and a bearded man wearing gold chains around his neck wait in the darkness.
Have a seat, Mr. Nelson.
Did you hurt him?
I'm not gonna ask again. Sit down.
Brian crosses to a chair and slowly lowers into it.
Mr.
He reaches for his ankle.
Nah, my nigga. Wouldn't do that if I was you.
Brian raises his brow and sits up.
You're the new attorney on Anthony Santiago's case, correct?
Yeah, that's me. Who are you?
Who I am, Mr. Nelson, isn't important. But why I'm here is.
Ah, so why is that?
I would like for Mr. Santiago to stay right where he is. See, his current circumstances are making me a wealthy man. So, I want to offer you the same thing I offered the other guys.
You want me to drop the case?
Actually, the opposite. I want you to stay on. I want you to screw things up enough to ensure that Santiago stays locked up. You do this for me, I'll make you a very rich man. Half now.
He opens a briefcase of cash.
And half when the case is over with.
Brian furrows his chin and nods.
Look, no disrespect, but I don't want your money. If I screw this case up, Anthony's gonna know it's me. And he's gonna have my family killed.
The man puffs a cigar.
Well, I guess your candle's burning at both ends, son. Because, actually, you don't have a choice.
His companion grins and holds up a gun.
Did you offer my associates the same deal?
Have a nice night, Mr. Nelson.
The men saunter past Brian and out the front door. Brian peers back over his shoulder, then slouches and rubs his face as he sighs. Daytime, in the prison, a guard leads Anthony into an interview room where Brian waits. The guard releases Anthony's cuffed wrists, then cuffs him to the table. The guard steps out of the room, leaving the men alone.
What's shaking, counselor? Can you get me out of here?
First of all, you want me on this case? You need to call off your dog, all right? I can't be at my best when you got Zulu hovering over my family like he doing.
You right. I need you at your best. I'll back Zulu off.
Secondly, I'm gonna need that alibi if I'm gonna get you off. Without the alibi, we lose. It's a done deal. All right, that's the only way I'm gonna get you off. That's if you're really innocent.
I can't do that.
And I can't help you.
You think I did this?
It don't even matter what I think. I'm only here to protect my family. You know that.
I'm innocent, B.
Look, if you're innocent, then give me the alibi.
I shouldn't need one if I didn't do it.
That's exactly why you need an alibi, to prove your innocence.
You know what?
I don't even believe you. All right? And if I don't believe you, I can't convince a jury to believe you. So that's it. It's a wrap. I'm off the case. Touch my family, and you'll spend the rest of your life in here, all right? Guard!
Brian stands.
It ain't that easy, little brother. By the time you reach the gate, your family will be dead.
Look, what is it that you want from me? Aunt, okay, what's up, man?
Okay. What are my options?
Take the plea deal at the DA's office.
No. I didn't do it, B. I'm innocent for once. And I'm not taking a plea deal for something I didn't do.
Listen. Ballistics match the bullets to your gun. Okay, there's two eyewitnesses that identify you at the crime scene. There's security footage of a man that fits your description running down the stairwell just moments after the bullets was fired, bro. This is a by-the-book, open-and-shut case. Without the alibi, you lose. It's nothing. It's over. Best bet is the DA's deal, man.
You know why I chose you, B? Because you got my brother off. And you're the only person on this planet that could have done that. Because like you said, he was like a brother to you too. But here we are. You know, you and I were once like brothers. The only difference between me and Oscar is I really am innocent.
You said he wasn't?
Come on. What, you gonna act like you didn't know?
Now, why are you bringing this up now?
Because I know you're the only one that could prove my innocence.
Brian glances upward in exasperation.
I'm not a miracle worker, bro.
I guess you have some incentive now, don't you?
Brian rises and knocks on the door. The guard opens it.
Guard.
Anthony holds up his cuffed wrists. Later, Lynette joins Brian, who waits for her at a playground in a park.
Hey.
What's up? I appreciate you coming to meet me.
You got 5 minutes, Brian.
All right. Look, I just wanted to tell you that I'm taking on a new case.
A new case? Since when did you... Wait, oh my God, Brian. Please tell me you are not taking on Anthony's murder trial. Are you?
Yep.
What? What are you thinking? That man has practically destroyed you. Destroyed us.
Anthony is the one that threatened to hurt you and Carla.
Anthony? Me and Carla? No. Are you serious?
Yes. We know what a snake Anthony is, but look, that's not important. The important thing is, I would die first before I let anything happen to you or Carla. I still love you.
I know, Brian. I don't want you to get hurt.
I ain't gonna get hurt, all right? Look, regardless of all the mess I made of us, just let me fix this, all right? If you feel anything weird or you see anything funny, any funny movement, you know what to do, all right?
Okay.
He takes her hand.
Thank you.
She takes her hand away.
Brian, I am glad to see you cleaned yourself up. I will say that. Take care.
She walks away, passing a man sitting hunched on a concrete wall beside the path. Nighttime, light shines through the windows of Lynette's house. A car sits parked outside the house. It flashes its high beams at Brian's approaching SUV. The SUV stops beside the car. Zulu rolls down the car's window.
Now, you wasn't gonna try to warn him, right? Because that would be a very bad idea.
Brian glowers and drives away. Later in his house, Brian's friend Monty hands him a dossier.
Yeah, this Zulu cat is bad news, B. I mean, real bad news.
Man, he threatened my family. He know where I live, he know where my wife work.
Man, you gotta get your family the hell out of here. And you can't go to the police.
I know. You think you got somewhere where you can get him safe off the grid or something like that?
You know, I might have an old army buddy or two that might have some off-the-grid type places. I'll look into it for you, partner.
All right, cool. As soon as you give me the word that my family is safe, I'm dropping off the case.
Bet that is the right call.
They sip beers. Text appears, 3 days later. Brian pulls into a parking lot and steps out of his SUV. The bearded man wearing gold chains jumps out of another car and blocks his path.
Hey, what's happening? Hold up. You took the money, Brian. And it don't seem like you're doing what we asked you to.
Look, you can have the money back. I ain't even touched the money. Why are you rolling up on me in front of my apartment?
I don't think you understand. We made a deal. The money's not refundable. Like Jay said, either Anthony stays in, or you die. It's simple.
Look, I can't just lose the case like that. Anthony knows I'm better than that. You gotta give me some time. It's a marathon, not a race.
Well, your time is ticking on your marathon. You got a week to fumble this case? If not, we're gonna find somebody else. But if we do that, there's no more need for you.
Understood.
We'll be watching.
Brian stomps toward his apartment. Zulu watches from the shadows nearby.
Yeah. Anthony, I think we got a problem.
Daytime, Brian joins Anthony in the prison meeting room. Stone-faced, Brian sits. Anthony stares him down.
When were you gonna tell me about your little deal with Jay?
Brian glances away.
That's why you ain't got me out of here yet, right?
Look, dude showed up at my house with a briefcase full of cash, told me if I didn't lose the case, I'm a dead man. And judging by all the money that he offered me, I'd say he's pretty motivated to keep you in here.
Sounds like you're stuck between two trains. On one side, you have your family's life. On the other, you have your own. What will you choose, Brian?
You know what's crazy? Is you say we like family, yet and still you threaten my family. So tell me, eh? What makes you different than Jay?
Easy. You help me, I keep your family safe. You help him, he still kills you and your family.
Brian raises a brow and scratches his lip.
Now look, one thing I did learn is why you haven't gotten off yet.
What are you saying, B?
Saying, I don't think I'm the first one that he offered this little deal to.
Brian makes air quotes with his fingers.
So what do you think? Should I fire him?
Nah, keep him on the case. They got good resources.
You're right. See? That's why I need you on the team, B. You're the only one I could trust.
You know, it's funny, I can't say the same thing about you. I see you in court tomorrow.
The guard opens the door for Brian. In a courtroom, a man presents security camera footage from the apartment building.
That's the lobby from our north entrance. This is footage from the north elevator. This was 2 minutes before residents reported hearing gunshots.
Let's pause it. Let the record show that there was not forced entry. The assailant opened the door with their own set of keys. Continue.
This is in our northeast stairwell and fire exit. This was 15 seconds after gunshots were reported by the residents.
The lights rise on the courtroom.
Mr. Haskins, has the video been altered or tampered with at all?
Not to my knowledge.
She leans in front of the jury.
And can you vouch for its authenticity?
Yes, I can.
Has anyone else handled the video besides yourself?
No. I turned it over to the investigating officer personally.
Thank you, Mr. Haskins. No further questions.
Mr. Nelson.
Nothing, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Haskins. You may step down.
Mr. Haskins crosses the courtroom, passing Charles, Manny, Anthony, and Brian at the defendant's table. The judge gazes over the room.
I think we've all heard enough for one day. Court will resume Monday after the weekend.
The prosecutor gathers her files.
This is where you trust me, all right? Gotcha, man.
As the courtroom occupants rise, a bailiff fastens handcuffs around Anthony's wrists. Nighttime, in his office, Brian sits with a digital analyst wearing glasses and a collared shirt. They watch the footage of the assailant sprinting down the hallway on a loop.
So, you want me to break this footage down frame by frame?
That's right. Make sure there's no anomalies. All right, make sure the footage ain't been tampered with either.
And when do you need this done by?
Thinking like yesterday.
I can do that, if the price is right.
Huh? No doubt. The price is gonna be right.
The analyst types on his laptop.
Huh, interesting.
He pauses the footage. Daytime, the courtroom.
Your Honor, the defense would like to call Mr. Howard McDonald to the stand, please.
Objection, Your Honor. The state was not made aware of this witness.
I can assure you that Mr. McDonald was brought into our employ about 1 or 2 days ago. He is a digital analyst, and his testimony is very key to proving my client's innocence.
I'll allow it. Let's see where this thing goes.
Thank you.
The prosecutor glares at Brian. Howard heads to the witness stand.
Please place your hand on the Bible. Raise your right hand. You do solemnly swear that the testimony you may give in the case now pending before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
He sits facing the court.
Mr. McDonald, thanks for joining us today. Mr. McDonald, can you please explain to the courtroom exactly what it is that you do for a living?
I work in data analytics and specialize in digital media.
Objection, Your Honor. The state has not had enough time to properly vet this witness. I mean, are we supposed to just trust this man at his word? How do we even know that he can do what he...
I completed undergrad at Purdue University, where I graduated in the top 1% of my class. I received my first master's degree from Stanford University with a concentration on analytics and digital design. I worked for 2 years as the head of encryption defragmentation at a top Fortune 500 company. And I periodically dabble in overseas digital defense for the CIA. So trust me, lady, I'm the real deal.
Overruled. You may continue.
Mr. McDonald, have you had a chance to view the footage of the night of the murders?
Yes, I have.
And in your professional opinion,
it's fake.
All right. Order.
Fake. It's a pretty bold statement. You mind clarifying what you mean by it's fake?
I mean, it's been tampered with. Portions of the footage are real, but there are other parts that have been manipulated.
You mind telling us which parts you believe have been manipulated?
Specifically, the footage from the elevator. From what I can see, it looks to be a deepfake.
Deepfake. So, Mr. McDonald, can you explain to the courtroom exactly what a deepfake is?
You've all seen them before, whether you realize it or not. Deepfake is basically photoshopping for the 21st century. Deepfakes use a form of artificial intelligence called deep learning to make images of fake events.
And you're implying that the reflection of my client in the elevator door was a deep fake.
I've reviewed the footage 100 times, so yes, that's what I'm saying.
Mr. McDonald, do you know exactly whose reflection it is in the elevator door?
No, not without the original footage.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Brian returns to his seat. Anthony fist bumps him.
This is Beeman. Would you like to cross?
Yes, Your Honor.
Beeman paces in front of Howard.
Mr. McDonald, I just have one question for you about this this crazy, wide-range conspiracy that the defense is attempting to construct. What James Bond villain do you suggest supposedly tampered with the security footage?
Objection, Your Honor. There's no way for him to be able to know who tampered with the footage.
You're the one who sprung the witness on the state. I think they've earned a little leeway. Go ahead and answer the question.
I don't know about any James Bond villain, but what I do know is whoever did this isn't an amateur. They're good. They've done it before.
And can you prove this so-called deepfake? Or are we just supposed to take you at your word?
I mean, I can't really prove it, but in my profession, I can say with 100% certainty that it is one.
But you can't prove it, correct?
No, ma'am. But you can't prove that it's real either.
No further questions.
You may step down.
Howard heads back to the gallery. As he returns to his seat, the man with the gold chains rises from the back of the room and slips through the courtroom door. In the court holding area, Anthony sits slouched in a cell. Brian approaches from the other side of the bars.
Think I can have a minute with my client?
Yeah, I'll give you some props.
Thanks.
Brian turns his gaze toward Anthony.
And, man, this charade gotta stop, bro. Okay, I may have convinced a couple of the jurors with the whole fake footage thing, but you still ain't gave me that alibi. You know what? I don't think you got one. I know you killed Candace, but it don't even matter whether you're innocent or guilty, because it is what it is, bro. All right? I'm gonna get you off like I promised. At this point, I just want to keep my family safe.
That's funny. It is what it is. Remember back in the day when them putas beat your ass and stole your ice cream money? And you just came running back to my abuela's house crying like a little bitch?
Yeah, and Santiago made you come back with me up the block.
We beat them fools' ass up and down that block.
Yes, sir.
Stole their ice cream money.
We're back to Miss Santiago. We told her what happened. She just looked at us and said,
It is what it is. Yeah, man. Those were simpler times back then, huh?
Both men nod.
Before you and your moms moved away, what happened to you after Oscar died, B?
Oh, man, I just... watching Oscar do what he did, it was crazy. I watched him just shoot his girl and put the bullet to it. She hit it. After that, I just shut down, man. I start shutting out everybody. Lynette, Carla. Start drinking. The nightmares, they just wouldn't stop. So then I started drinking more to make myself go to sleep. But I literally watched somebody murder someone. Somebody that I set free murdered someone. It all just went downhill from there. I was showing up to court drunk. That's when Lynette just kicked me out.
What happened with Oscar and his family wasn't your fault, B. It was mine. I just got so caught up in business, I lost track of family. I didn't see what being inside that place was doing to him. And that's on me.
Look.
Brian turns to Anthony.
Just give up, man. Man, give me this alibi. You do that, we win. We go home.
I sent word to Zulu to set up a meeting for you tonight. He's gonna pick you up and take you somewhere. This has to stay between us. No one can know.
I ain't trying to roll nowhere with Zulu, man.
You're gonna be good. You'll be good.
Anthony eyes Brian, who shakes his head with a sigh, then leans on the wall. Nighttime, Zulu's car pulls up outside a brick mansion. Zulu and Brian emerge. A pair of guards stands on the porch, watching them.
They're waiting for you inside. Who?
Zulu stares at Brian. Brian heads toward the guards on the porch. As he steps into the light, one of the guards pats him down while the other glances in Zulu's direction. The second guard leads Brian into the house. A chandelier hangs in the foyer over a pair of staircases that curve along the walls, leading to a central landing. He swaggers through the foyer and into a living room where a gray-haired man smoking a cigar waits.
Sit. Ryan Nelson. Relax, don't worry, everything's gonna be okay. You want a drink or anything?
Water's cool.
Good. Vinny, you please get him a water?
The bodyguard sets a glass beside Brian, who sits on a couch.
So, do you know who I am?
Yeah. Don Victor Luciano, head of the Genevieve crime family.
Very good. I'm impressed. You did your homework.
Yeah.
Now, damn Anthony. He can't keep his nose clean. I told him a million times, you take care of family first. Now look at him. You know, I knew that kid since he was 17. I took him under my wing. I taught him everything I knew.
Victor sips liquor.
Because I saw his potential. And look at him now.
So let me get this straight. Anthony works for you?
Yeah, along with a lot of other people, but he was always my favorite. And it's a damn shame what happened to that whore wife of his.
So why am I here?
Anthony asked me to show you something. All right? Vinny.
Vinny places a laptop on the coffee table.
Thank you. Let's scoot over. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Brian Nelson. I need you to look at this very closely.
What am I looking at?
Monthly, myself and the other four Dons from the Western District, we meet and we discuss business. Now, we record these meetings for like a guarantee. It's a promise of mutual destruction. One of us goes down, we all go down. You understand?
Yeah. So, why are you showing me this?
Because also at these meetings, we meet with our top distributors. See who that is?
He points to Anthony.
So it is impossible, counselor, that your client could have been in two places at once. You understand?
So, Anthony was meeting with you that night.
Exactly.
You're his alibi.
That's right. So now you understand why no one can know about this. All right, this video can never be used as evidence and no one is ever gonna testify because this meeting never took place. All right, and the only reason I'm telling you is because I have a soft spot for that kid and he tells me you two go way, way back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony's innocent.
That's right. Now you...
Victor closes the laptop.
We are counting on you, counselor, to do everything you possibly can do to get our boy out of there. Because it is affecting his work, and the other Dons are getting very impatient. He owes us a lot of money, you understand? And the Dons want me to go to collection. I'm the only one that are keeping them at bay. Do you understand?
Understood.
Great. You're free to go.
Brian eyes Victor, then starts toward the door.
Brian, thank you.
Thanks.
With an assault rifle clutched in his hands, Vinny follows Brian to the front door. Brian emerges outside. Vinny lingers behind him. As he returns to Zulu's waiting car, Brian buttons his blazer. Zulu stands beside the car.
I take it, meeting was fruitful.
So Anthony's innocent, which means somebody set him up.
Glad we finally have your train on the track, Mr. Nelson.
They climb into the car. Later, they drive. The car comes to a stop beside a park near Brian's townhouse, and Brian emerges. He shuts the door behind him, and Zulu drives away. As Brian trudges through the park, Jay's associates appears from the darkness with a gun pointed at Brian.
Come on, man, what now?
What now? Jay don't like that little performance you pulled today in the courtroom, nigga. He gave your ass the time limit. Time is up.
Look, I just found out Anthony is innocent, all right? I ain't about to put an innocent man in jail for the rest of his life. Come on, man.
Well, in this case, there's no more need for you.
I think Mr. Nelson is very much needed. Don't you, Mr. Nelson?
Zulu draws a gun.
This ain't got nothing to do with you, Zulu.
Nah. This has everything to do with me. You good, Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, I'm good.
Here's a little message to Jay from Anthony.
What?
Zulu shoots the bearded man.
Man, come on, Zulu! Why would you do that? Now Jay gonna be after me!
If I didn't kill him, he would have killed you.
I can't work like this, man!
Anthony told me to back off your family. But you in over your head with some people who don't need you, like Anthony needs you. You're gonna need protection. Consider it a favor. Go in the house. I'll clean this up.
Inside his townhouse, Brian rips off his blazer in front of the bathroom mirror. A blood spatter stains his white undershirt. He wets a cloth and scrubs the blood from his face. Brian hunches over the bathroom sink, taking heavy breaths. Daytime, Brian joins Anthony in the interview room in the prison.
You get what you needed?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
So now what?
Now we figure out who's trying to set you up.
It's a long list.
Yeah, don't I know?
Luciano say anything else?
Something about the Dons being impatient. Something about sending it to collections or something.
Yeah. I still owe them. I just don't know how much it's gonna cost me after all this. I got their products stashed away. I'll take care of it when I get out of here.
What if you don't?
And I guess I'm screwed either way.
So who benefits the most by you being up in here?
Jay. He's been trying to push into my territory and get my connect for years.
And that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay. But how do we get them to see that?
You leave that up to me. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
The guard opens the door. Brian looks back at Anthony.
Keep your head up, man.
Anthony nods, then drops his gaze in thought. Later, Brian sits in his townhouse with Monty.
You know, the funny thing about the law is, it's not about what you know. It's about what you can prove.
You know what else is funny?
Shoot.
A lot of people think I got into law for the money. But that's the furthest thing from the truth, you feel me?
Well, why did you if it wasn't for the money?
I mean, I guess I just saw how broken the system was.
Yeah, I got that one.
So many men and women in jail because, you know, they got some crap plea deal or, you know, they couldn't afford an attorney or whatever, just nonsense. I guess, you know, I really got into law to help the people that the system's been victimizing. And like it or not, Anthony Santiago, he's their next victim.
Okay, Brian, what do you want to do?
I think the third witness is our key. Without him, we ain't got nothing. Now, the cops is thinking that Anthony got to him, but nah. I know Ant. He wouldn't do that. But who would do something like that is Jay and his people.
So the witness went into hiding.
Yep. It's time we gotta fish him out.
Oh. Road trip.
All right, let's get it. Come on.
They head out, then drive along the freeway as the sun sets over the horizon. Later, a landlord lets them into an apartment.
I haven't seen the son of a bitch in almost 6 weeks. Still ain't got a rent check. Guy's been ghost ever since the police stopped by looking for him. Y'all find him first, let him know he got 2 more weeks. After that, all of this stuff is going to the trash.
Hey, thanks again for letting us take a look around.
No problem. Just don't take nothing, huh? I don't want nobody to come back asking me any questions.
We got you, bro. God damn. Look like your boy skipped town.
I mean, kept it kind of clean.
They search the apartment, checking in cabinets under the kitchen sink.
Yeah. All right. Where were the M?
He finds a pill bottle.
Veronica Stewart. We got a name.
Okay.
Brian steps into the bedroom.
Yo.
A telescope sits in the window.
I also got something interesting over here. Come here, Monty. Check this out.
Monty joins Brian in the bedroom and peers through the telescope. It points toward the victim's apartment.
Son of a bitch was a peeping Tom.
Yeah, peeping Tom that can positively identify the real killer. You said Veronica's her name, right?
Mm-hmm. Veronica Stewart.
I got an idea. Let's find this Veronica Stewart chick.
Finding people is what I do.
In his office, Brian slips a crime scene photo from a box and studies it. He furrows his brow, then grabs another photo of the victim's bodies. He purses his lip and leans over the photo, deep in thought. Brian glances around, then stuffs the photo back into the box. He flips through documents on his desk, then closes them in a folder. Brian rests his hand on his chin and thinks. He types on his open laptop. He plays a recording.
911, what's your emergency?
A man just shot 2 people across the street from me.
And you witnessed this altercation how, sir?
From my living room window.
He frowns, then closes his laptop. Brian picks up his phone.
Yo.
I found the Veronica chick. Feel like taking a ride?
Let's do it.
Brian hangs up, then strolls out of the office. In a truck, Brian and Monty park outside a house. They climb out of the truck and head along the porch. They peer in the darkened windows of the building.
You know, this chick was actually easy to find. It's like the cops weren't even looking for her.
Yeah, personally, I don't even think the DA cared to find her.
All right, check it. You go knock on the front door. I'm gonna stay back here in case our perv wants to try to flee.
All right, good idea.
While Monty hangs back around the corner, Brian knocks on the door.
Veronica, right?
Yeah.
He steps into Veronica's front hall.
Look, your brother may be a witness to a possible.
I'm gonna tell you like I told them cops that came here before you. I'm here by myself. I don't know where Kenny is, and I don't know when he's coming back, so you can go ahead and get up out of here.
Okay, before I go, let me just see if I have a business card that I can get.
A man peers through a doorway.
Kenny?
Run!
Yo, Kenny! Run! He's out back! Go get him!
Monty rushes the fleeing man.
Hey, man!
Kevin slugs him. Monty and Brian restrain Kevin.
Oh. You good, Monty?
Oh, man, just get him in the car.
You have to knock him out.
Where are you about to take my brother?
Yeah, get back in the house.
Where is you about to take...
Get in the house!
Put your hands behind your back. Get in the car.
Monty handcuffs Kevin in the backseat of the truck.
Watch your foot.
Brian and Monty climb into the front seats.
Cops here, guys.
Man, we're not cops.
If you guys aren't cops, then who the hell are you?
That's probably something you should have tried to ask before you came running out your house like a maniac, man. God. I'm Brian Nelson. I'm the defense attorney for the Anthony Santiago case. And we know
that you're the one that made the 911 call that night. And what you need to tell us is why you went into hiding.
I had to.
I'm gonna ask you one more time. Why did you run?
Because the killer was knocking at my goddamn door.
Monty casts a grave look back at Kevin.
Yo, man, I'll watch him tonight.
Yeah.
Brian buckles his seatbelt and they drive away. Daytime, the courthouse. The occupants of the courtroom stand as the judge settles at his bench.
You may be seated.
They sit. The bailiff crosses the room.
Mr. Nelson, are you ready with your opening statement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Then let's proceed.
Brian rises from his table and smooths his suit.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, not only am I going to prove that my client, Mr. Anthony Santiago, is innocent, but I'm also going to present to you something that the police never even thought to search for. And that is the real monster who committed this heinous crime. Now, I'm not saying Anthony Santiago, a career criminal, is without sin. But then again, who is?
Brian shrugs.
Now, I'm not asking you to like him. I don't even like him. But personal feelings should have nothing to do with the facts. The fact is,
he points to Anthony.
This is an innocent man. I know that for a fact. And after today, you all will know as a fact as well that my client,
Brian smooths his suit jacket,
is innocent. Thank you.
He returns to his seat.
Okay, Mr. Nelson, call your first witness.
Your Honor, the defense calls Mr. Harvey Lennox to the stand.
Objection! The defense is attempting to put on a dog and pony show, Your Honor.
Counselors, approach the bench.
Brian and Beeman cross toward the bench.
Your Honor, I can assure you that this witness is vital to proving my client's innocence.
Really? Because I'm beginning to side with Miss Beeman. I think this whole thing is beginning to look like an act. So either you drive your point home quickly, or I'm going to hold you in contempt for making a mockery of this court.
Brian receives a text.
Mr. Nelson, is there something more important in this case that you have to check your phone?
Yes, actually, can I have a quick recess?
What? On what grounds?
I've just gotten a hold of some new evidence, and I need to review it before I can present it.
All right, I'll allow it.
Judge!
30-minute recess.
The text reads, "It's Monty. I got Lynn and Carla. We're safe." Brian dashes out of the courtroom. Another text reads, "Meet us at the park." Brian sprints for the door. He drives toward a park to find Monty's truck cordoned off by police tape. Emergency responders swarm the area.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, my wife and my daughter's in there.
Sir.
Hey, what's up, man?
Sir, there's only one victim in the car. It's a male victim.
So there's no woman or child in that vehicle?
Sir, there's only one victim. Do you know the victim, sir?
Monty lies slumped against the steering wheel, dead.
Sir.
Lynette, hey.
Just when I was starting to like you, you go do something stupid.
Zulu, you lay one hand on my family and I promise you.
Promise me what?
You gonna kill me, Mr. Nelson? That same threat again? At least make a threat that I can remotely pretend to entertain.
Look, I don't even gotta kill you. I'll make sure Anthony spends the rest of his life behind bars. You got me?
You know what happens if you do that. You know what happens.
Come on, man, leave us alone, man. Leave us alone.
But to think you were just gonna take your family and run off into the sunset?
I thought you were smarter than that, Mr. Nelson.
Auntie,
Monty was the first one. There won't be a second one.
By the way,
it wasn't easy getting information out of him. He put up a good fight to the end. Monty was a good friend. I hate he had to go.
I can't win. I just can't win with you.
Finish your job, Mr. Nelson, or I'll finish your family.
Okay, just don't hurt. No! Hello? Lynn?
No.
Mr. Nelson, didn't harm Lynn or Carla. See, I need them alive so you can finish your job, Mr. Nelson. But I can't say the same thing about Charlie. Consider that a favor. Now finish your job.
Blood seeps from the gunshot wound in Lynette's boyfriend's head. Brian climbs into his car. Later, he finds Anthony in the courthouse holding cell.
What's up, B?
You're my family, that's what's up.
What's going on in here?
Nothing at all, officer. Just a little misunderstanding with my case, that's all.
Well, keep it down.
Will do.
Brian glares at Anthony.
You said he wasn't gonna touch my family. You promised me.
And you said you were gonna get me out of here. I guess we're both liars.
Monty was my dog, man. He ain't had nothing to do with this.
Actually, Monty had everything to do with this. He was the one that was planning your little getaway trip, right? Unfortunately, his resources were more loyal to money than to him.
Brian sighs and slumps against the wall.
Charlie was innocent.
I guess with Charlie out of the way, you got a second chance.
Brian eyes Anthony with a disgusted snarl.
Are you lucky that I don't drop this case and let you rot in here for the rest of your life?
And you're lucky I don't put a bullet in your wife and make your kid watch. Don't you ever threaten me again, Brian. Now, let's cross this finish line together. You get your family back, you never have to see me again.
They lock eyes through the bars of the cell and stare each other down. Brian stalks out of the room.
Take a breath, Brian.
Later in the courtroom, Brian sits lost in thought. Several photos lie strewn across the table.
Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, what's up?
Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything is good.
All right, defense, call your witness.
Brian stands and glances at Anthony.
Yeah. The defense would like to call Detective William Whitfield to the stand.
Objection. Detective Whitfield is not listed on the witness list, Your Honor.
Your Honor, Detective Whitfield and his partner, Detective Copeland, they both ran surveillance on my client.
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Detective Whitfield, a burly man with a beard and steely eyes, heads to the witness stand.
Place your left hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Whitfield settles into his seat and rolls his head on his neck.
You know, it's interesting seeing you hand on the Bible, taking an oath. Ask you something, Detective. Have you ever broken an oath before?
Objection. Counsel is badgering the witness.
It's his witness.
Detective, how long did you follow my client, Mr. Santiago?
I don't know. Almost 6 months, I guess.
6 months?
Give or take.
And Detective, I believe that you once referred to my client as a piece of scum drug lord. Am I correct?
Sounds like something I'd say.
So, is it safe to say that you've had a bit of animosity with my client?
I've been on the force for 8 years. In that time, I've seen countless men, women, and children overdose on that crap that he sells. I personally put away dozens of two-bit petty drug pushers, and they all say the same thing. They work for him.
So, why didn't you ever arrest him and charge him?
We tried multiple times. But because of people like you, Counselor, we can never make anything stick.
So, needless to say, that you were highly motivated before your investigation to catch my client in a crime, correct?
I was highly motivated to put scum like him behind bars where he belongs.
So, Detective, you and your partner watched and surveilled my client and his wife, Candace, for 6 months?
That's right.
Learned a lot about him in that period of time, right?
If you say so.
And in all that time, you never found any substantial evidence of this drug empire or any illicit crime, or for that matter, nothing illicit at all other than him owning a gun, correct?
Whitfield's eyes swivel to the jury.
That's right.
Until miraculously, after your investigation was called off, the man that you've been surveilling for the past 6 months just so happens to murder his wife and her lover.
Whitfield glares.
No disrespect for the family of the bereaved, but thank God for small miracles.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have found him, right?
Who's to say?
Now, the day that you served his wife, Candace Santiago, the warrant, you just happened to surprise her at her apartment, correct?
I believe so.
And after surveilling them for 6 months, you knew exactly when to serve the search warrant, which was when my client, Mr. Santiago, was out of town, correct?
It was strategic, yes.
So who took her keys?
Whitfield's mouth gapes in confusion.
What?
Her house keys. Was it you or your partner?
I don't recall.
So one of you did take her house keys?
Like I said, I don't recall.
What about the hoodie?
What hoodie?
The hoodie that you say my client wore the night of the murders. Was that also in the closet?
I don't recall.
You don't recall. Detective, did you take video evidence of this search?
Yes, we had one of our officers recording the search.
And were you with that officer the entire time?
No, I was searching through other areas of the condo.
Other areas of the condo, meaning the alley where the weapon was found?
Yes.
So, Detective, did you and your partner remove the gun from the crime scene?
No, we put the weapon back where we found it.
See, now, that's hard to believe, Detective, because what I believe is that you and your partner actually removed the gun from the crime scene.
Your Honor.
Tread carefully, Mr. Nelson.
See, what I believe is 6 months trailing my client, frustration kicks in. You and your partner was far too annoyed. You can't pin anything on him. You can't make anything stick. So what do? You and your partner devise a plan. Plan to take him down. I mean, you had their habits memorized. You knew exactly where they would be and when they would be there. So I think you used that search warrant not to search the residence, but to make an impression of the key so that you can get in, get the weapon, and get the hoodie. Then you had your team alter the security footage. You guys couldn't get my client on a significant enough drug charge, but double murder? Wow, that's better.
Objection, Your Honor.
Mr. Nelson, do not fling unfounded accusations in my courtroom. Do you hear me?
I can assure you, Your Honor, they are not unfounded accusations because I found the third witness, the
what?
One person who made the 911 call. You mind standing up, please?
What?
Kevin stands.
All right, order.
You see, good old Kenny here has a problem. He's a peeping Tom, who just so happened to be peeping in on the night that my client's wife, Candace Santiago, and her lover were both gunned down. So imagine his shock when, after calling 911 to report a murder that he just witnessed, that the gunman actually shows up to his front door holding a badge.
It was him! I seen him kill them both!
What? Your Honor, This is outrageous.
Son of a bitch.
Yo, we're in the court.
Whitfield charges Brian, but the bailiff restrains him.
He deserves to go down. You know he does. We did nothing wrong.
Court.
Damn you, Nelson.
I want this courtroom completely cleared. Court will come to order. Bailiffs, take these men out immediately.
Yo, you was there,
get
Nelson.
Get them out of here.
You see what kind of animals him and his brother are. You know he deserves to go down, man.
Wait.
The court will come to order. Hey.
Later.
In light of today's disappointing and disgusting revelation, court has no choice but to declare a mistrial. Drop all charges against Mr. Santiago. He should be released immediately. Case dismissed.
I told you I was innocent. I told you.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, congratulations.
Congrats, Jen.
Anthony shakes hands with his lawyers. Charles and Manny gather their documents. As Anthony heads out of the courtroom, Brian hurries after him.
Man, a deal is a deal. Where's my family?
You're right. You came through like I knew you would.
Anthony hands Brian a note.
Here's the address where you can find your family.
You need to tell me you had this the whole time?
What was I supposed to do? Give it to you myself? And then what? Had these two idiots argue my case? Look, I have no doubt about it. Your family's safe. Come on, hermano. No hard feelings.
He eyes Anthony's hand.
We ain't friends. Once I get my family back, stay the hell away from us, all right?
Brian storms off.
Have it your way. Made a great team, though. Give me your phone. Hurry up, give me your phone.
Manny gives Anthony his phone.
Yeah, it's me. No loose ends.
He tosses the phone back to Manny. Anthony steps in front of a news camera.
Justice has been served. If you don't mind, I'd like to go home and wash this experience off. Excuse me.
Manny and Charles follow Anthony past the crowd and into an elevator. The lawyers flank Anthony, who stands with his hands clasped as the elevator doors close. Nighttime. Brian's SUV skids to a stop outside an industrial warehouse. He leaps out of the vehicle and sprints for the door.
Lynette! Carla!
Inside, Zulu holds Carla at gunpoint.
What you doing, man? This ain't supposed to go down like this.
Weapon, Mr. Nelson.
Zulu, I ain't strapped, dog. I'm just here to get my family, man.
Throw your weapon down now, Mr. Nelson.
Okay.
Your daughter's brain.
No. Okay.
Here it is. All right.
Brian tosses his gun to Zulu.
Look, dog, this is what's supposed to happen. Anthony said you was going to let us all go, man.
No, you weren't supposed to try and move them. You forced my hand, Mr. Nelson, just like my hand is forced now.
No.
Wait! Look, Anthony said, he said you wasn't gonna hurt my family, all right?
You believed him? Just like you believed he was innocent, right?
Wait.
He played you like a side chick, brother.
What you trying to say, man? Anthony is innocent. You took me to Luciano's. I saw him on the tape.
Come on, Brian. You know how easy it is to fake footage these days?
So this whole thing was a setup?
You were never gonna get your family, Mr. Nelson.
Come on, Zulu. It's between me and you, all right? Let my family go.
It's not personal, Mr. Nelson. It's just business.
Carla stomps on Zulu's foot. Brian tackles Zulu, who fires at the ceiling. Carla and Lynette race outside. Brian and Zulu square off. Brian slugs Zulu across the face. Zulu blocks Brian's arm, then jabs him in the gut. Zulu throws Brian against a wall. Zulu cracks his neck and advances toward Brian. Carla and Lynette wait outside. He smashes Brian across the face. Brian blocks a second punch and clocks him. Both men stagger. Brian swings at Zulu, who grabs his hand, headbutts him, and kicks him backward. Brian reels. Both men dive for their dropped guns, then raise them in unison and stare each other down. Brian emerges in the doorway. Carla and Lynette race to embrace him. They help Brian to the SUV. Daytime. Text. 1 week later. Guests mingle at a party in Anthony's apartment. Anthony holds a woman's hand.
Drink? I'll be back. Excuse me, I gotta take this.
Anthony heads to another room and answers his phone.
Yo, where you been? I'm waiting 3 days for this call.
A photo of Oscar sits on his desk.
Zoo, you there?
This ain't Zulu, bro.
B, that's you?
Yeah, it's me. Still alive.
Well, goddamn. You're a resourceful motherfucker, aren't you?
You know, me and you is cut from the same cloth.
Grew up in the same hood, you know me. I know how to handle my own.
I see. Hey, well, good for you. Hey, no hard feelings, right? You know, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah, I know. Business is business, right? Look, ain't no hard feelings. You was doing what you had to do, but check this out. Now I gotta do what I gotta do.
You see, when you told me about your debt to Luciano, I thought, if you was taking his money, there's only one place that you'll feel comfortable enough to stash it.
All right. So you found my stash. Good for you. You want to trade? You want a cut of the company? I'm a generous businessman. You tell me what you want and I'll work it out.
Sorry, Aunt. See, ain't nothing to work out.
Because I don't got your money no more. Yeah, I think I found somebody that can make better use of it. You remember Jay, right?
Brian stands outside Anthony's grandma's house. In a flashback, Brian opens a duffel bag for one of Jay's men, revealing several stacks of cash. He hands the duffel bag to Jay's henchman, who swaggers away. Brian watches the henchman, then walks away. Now, Anthony clenches his jaw.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
He went over there and paid your debt and took your seat at the table, which you haven't had in a while.
You see, you ain't even been to Lucci's in a minute.
Before I put a bullet in Zulu's head, he told me that the footage was fake. And that you couldn't have been there, because you was too busy killing your wife.
So what now, B? Huh? You gonna arrest me? Turn me in? You got the cops with you?
Nah. I just wanted to hear you admit it. See, you took my family, you took my life from me, and you was guilty.
I just couldn't figure out what a third witness would lie.
Be surprised what a man will do for someone he loves.
It's over, man.
Over? Nah. It ain't over. See, we're just getting started, you and I, B. This is step A.
We gotta go all the way to B. You know what I'm about to do to you?
I'm about to send so many shooters to your door. You're gonna think they're using your house for target practice. I'm gonna send so many killers at your family's.
Jay's henchman creeps behind Anthony and shoots him in the head, then takes his liquor glass. Anthony slumps over his desk, dead. Jay's henchman steps into the party and raises the glass with a grin, then passes a dancing woman as he heads out the door. Nighttime, at Lynette's house, Brian eats dinner with his family.
Dad, I'm so glad you came over.
Me too. I'm happy. I actually miss your mama's cooking. You know, it's been a minute. You know what I'm saying?
I'm happy you're here too.
But I don't eat the beef.
You know, you can just put that on my plate.
Well, you know, I get gassy. I get that to my baby girl so she can tackle that right there.
I was. It was a test.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's fine. Let me test my daughter and see. I got a question for you, baby. When did you start wearing makeup?
You know, since this boy Quan came into my life. You know, he's a musician. He does the whole keys and the.
I didn't know about no Quan.
Yeah, because I know if Mama would have known about Quan.
He's my lab partner.
He's gonna be.
Oh, wait, so you started wearing makeup to impress Quan?
No,
but if it ain't nothing like that, then why are you trying to put it
in? This is how.
Did you teach? Did you get her the brushes?
Because
I would break Quan's fingers.
Oh.
He won't be able to lab nothing.
He does guitar.
Well, Quan's gonna be playing a guitar like this. Blink, blink,
blink. You know, Carla, what happens now, Carla, is Quan can come over here and study with you. She told me they're working on chemistry.
Not having chemistry.
Quantanamonizing my daughter.
What?
I thought that they were studying.
What?
Can Quan come over? We have a chemistry test coming up, and we have to do notes and everything.
Really?
We can even stay on the couch.
No.
Okay.
The view drifts into the night sky. Credits: Marcus Houston, Bo Casper Smart, Judy Johnson, Six Reasons, Lyrica Anderson, Victoria Knuckles, Gary Sturgis, with Kelly Perrine and Al Sapienza. More credits roll. Copyright 2023 Footage Films. The logo, Footage Film Studios.